It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to another episode of That's Dicey. I'm Andrew, and today we're doing session two of our Pathfinder second edition campaign. I'm gonna throw it over to Jojo, who is going to give us a recap of what happened in session one.
So we, my dear listeners, are known as Fablers, and we, Intrepid Three, seek to travel the known verse and make people's stories live to their full potential, their legacy, you know, their stuff of legend. And in so doing, we've got some tenets, and we've got the tenets of empathy and understanding and the importance of controlling one's narrative. And so, like, that's where the story of Palaganis takes us. We arrive on a tropical island, and there is a sheep shepherd that is relatively untroubled his whole life, but can often be misconstrued as a monster because of their disposition. But they would like to be a musician and string a 7-string lyre, but their nightmare is being forgotten. It's very sad. So we want to make sure that they have a strong life that they can be proud of. And we traveled the island, is very tropical, very beautiful. And we came across three artificer, super genius giants. I think they were giants. I'm pretty sure they were giants. And they invented laser tag and also general city infrastructure. Also, I think there was a frozen lightning bolt. Lots of magical artifacts, and we can Super Mario jump through paintings, 64 style. And now, you know, we arrive at sandy beaches where our friend is being melancholy, and we're going to bolster their spirits. How's that for a recap? Was that okay?
That was legit. That was everything that happened.
Hell yeah.
10 out of 10. Would hire for
attempts. Jinx.
Tight. Glad I was able to deliver. So it was beach time, and our guy is moping. Is that what's happening? Is he moping?
He was moping until the banner went up that said Palaganis Island annual speed dating, and you can see that there's tables getting set up and people moving about, and he's thrilled. He's rushing over there to help out. I guess that's where we begin. We have this down here next to the beach, we have this cool ocean breeze going over, and there's birds fluttering over, the sound of the waves crashing behind you, and ahead of you is an assortment, like an array of people from, it looks like, everywhere. Because you sort of went across this whole island and you didn't see really any of these people. Looking off the edge of a cliff, big giant cruise ship that probably brought all these people here. Yeah, and they're setting up all the tables and stuff. And Palaganis is rushing over there to help. He runs off, starts moving tables, setting stuff up, and we sort of sweep around to look at the three of you. What is it you guys do in this moment?
What is the size of a Tengu compared to a Cyclops?
So your height is really a decision that you get to make, but if we're going based on the average, Alaganis is a good 4 feet taller than you on average, just based on...
Okay, so it's not quite a I fly up on his shoulder type situation.
No, you cannot be his parrot.
It's going to be a really obvious Cyrano de Bergerac situation.
So he went and ran off to go help set up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, these other people that are coming to set up, can we see them? Are they readily visible from where we are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not that far ahead of you. Setting up like right there where you were, sort of just a little further out.
Sure. Can I eyeball the people? Are they also Cyclops, or do they appear to be just another kind of people?
There are all sorts of people. There is a 13-foot like peach blossom tree that's animated moving around.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a 6-foot bipedal wolf that's wearing like this like crazy looking armor, running around helping out. And then there's an otter just like zipping through. I guess from your like cursory glance, those are people you see moving about. But there are more people than those three, just helping out. Setting up tables,
okay, cool.
Cards and other stuff.
Well, I would definitely go to help. I am basically an elemental bender, and imagine I can help quite a bit moving elements 20 feet in any direction. So maybe I can like buffet some air and, you know, light some stuff on fire.
So in the centerpiece of these like tables that they're setting up, there is a candle, and it's sort of floating on water. There's the candle, there's the floating water stuff, there's like tablecloths. So yeah, if you just want to go around and, you know, either fill up the like vases with water and light the candles, you totally do that. All right. Anybody else? What's everybody else doing?
I think I'd also want to go help. Just stick around, Palaganis.
Okay.
I was muted again. I too will assist.
All right. With everyone in motion, you know, doing all the things, it gets done pretty quickly. All your tables and stuff are set up. Everything's ready to go, and Palaganis goes up to the front area where there's like sort of a like booth table thing going on, and essentially from the looks of the people that went before Palaganis, they get a number, and the number corresponds to a card on a table, and and they just sort of go to that table. And
are there any beverages? Yeah, you know, like, is anyone rolling out casks of ale or anything? I just want to get a drink.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Thank
you. Not that you can see. There is like a water station, you know, where like people get water.
That works too.
Yeah.
I go over to the water station, I fill up that cup, and I take a little drink.
It tastes like water. But you get the strange sense that you're thinking it tastes like water. Just a cup with water.
Okay. That's all.
Yeah, I mean,
suspiciously normal water.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the cup was thought it did something.
Oh, it definitely does something, but it doesn't happen when you fill it with water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a mystery. Isn't that cool? Aren't mystery magic items awesome?
We're gonna get sidetracked as Huggins searches for the magical elixir that goes in this cup.
Yeah. Do you drink all the water in the cup?
Yeah, sure. What could go wrong?
Okay.
Famous last words.
Right.
Yeah.
You drink some water and Palaganis collects his number and he goes to the table that corresponds with that matching number. And if we were one of those cool podcasts that had an infinite catalog of music that we could utilize, this is where that dreadful fight music occurs. You can hear it almost.
Video game fight music.
Yeah,
got it.
And yeah, we have like this flash, flicker through all the different tables. We look at all the different people. Palaganis is seated across from the animated peach tree that you saw earlier. And speed dating begins. The bell rings and from like the dust on the ground, this like tendrily like coil things just like rise up from the dust, and you hear like whispers, but they're not like coherent enough to make out words. It's just like this like low whispering noise as these tendrils kind of move, and we're gonna roll initiative.
Awesome.
So I will give you the option here because you were helping set up, you were doing things. You can roll the flat perception, right, to do your initiative, which is the base, like basic thing that everyone does. Or I will give you the opportunity to petition that you were doing something else. Stealth can work here. Other skills can work here. You can roll a different skill. Yeah, so.
You said it was just your perception skill? For initiative?
I don't see my perception skill. Where's... Oh, perception's its own special thing.
Yeah.
I rolled a 13 for perception.
13. All right. I am opening everyone's character sheet. So, pardon me if I make a bunch of noise.
Did I mess up my perception? Because I rolled a 28. Plus 11. That feels wrong.
I don't know. That sounds correct.
I have a plus 9, so it feels right.
So, Jojo rolled 13.
I think 20. Because I'm a cat, I was probably doing some, like, stringing up of lights up high. And I was probably up somewhere where I had a really good vantage point.
Uh-huh.
So I'm petitioning to have advantage on my perception check.
What is your thing is plus 9? Okay, sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. First one was a 27. Second one was a 16. I didn't need it. It's a 27.
All right, so that will be Patrick. You are first. What do you do as I guess this thing happens?
Got some weird specters coming up out of the dust, you said?
Yeah, like some like tenderly like things coming out of the dust over there.
I will first look at Sanjo. And be like, are you seeing this? Am I crazy?
Say who or what?
Am I seeing it? Do I see it?
Oh, yeah, all of you see it.
I'm just confused.
Cool. I believe my eyes must be deceiving me.
I see it too.
I look confuzzled. I look real furrowed brows and put my hand over to shade my eyes in further staring.
I'm trying not to metagame super hard, but I mean, phantoms coming out of the dust, they seem aggressive. Or are they perhaps here for the speed dating?
Oh no, they're lonely. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That sucks. This is worse now. Now they're coming back. This is awful. This is brokenhearted people. Make them scary again. This is awful.
Whoops. I made the spectral abominations the sad characters. Whoops.
I think from the like way that they move and shift that you can discern that they have intent, but not necessarily if the intent is malicious, I suppose. They're here to do something.
Whoa.
Okay, well, you know, I'm making an executive decision here. Huggins doesn't like spectral shadow people. They're just sneaking up on everyone. So I'm going to go over there and clobber them with my cane.
All right.
What's the meaning of this? Just give them a bonk.
All right. I guess bonk. Go ahead and give me the good old attack roll. Swing.
Where
swing.
Is that?
I don't actually know. I'm looking at your character sheet. I would assume it's the same as your beak or fist. So if you just want to click one of those.
Okay. 24.
24 is
gonna 24 for bonking.
24 is gonna do it. Go ahead and roll damage.
And bonk he does.
That's where I wrote this down. Here we go. Equipment. What is the damage of a sword cane if I haven't drawn the sword?
It is the same as a staff. What does staff damage? Because yeah, it counts as a. Oh, interesting. Well, I guess I'm wrong. It's a D6, and then you have a +2.
Oh, okay.
+2 to that. But it's bludgeoning and not piercing damage. It's the same damage.
Gotcha.
No matter which way you use it, it's just different type.
Woo! 3 points!
yeah, you... Yeah.
Absolute minimum.
You hit one of those tendrils, they sort of like...
And I shout, what's the meaning of this?
They sort of like... coil around each other and then uncoil in like a very like a Final Fantasy style thing, you know, when you hit like a when you do the move and you hit a thing and it does like its motion. I got hit.
Like a recoil animation.
Yeah, but they furl okay. up around each other and then they unfurl again into three separate tendrils. Patrick.
Oh God!
I say this with all of the niceness that I have in my spirit.
He's lying.
Make a will saving throw.
No problem. I got this. 14. Whoops.
Oh, okay. Don't worry, guys. You got this.
He has this one in the bag. No. As you hit this tendril, those whispers amplify into a voice, and you hear a familiar voice, and we're gonna segue jump into some sort of flashback here, and I'm gonna ask you to describe a moment where you failed that sticks with you.
Ooh.
To this day.
Oh, I don't like that.
Suddenly, I am transported back to my sailing days. Aboard a galleon of some kind. I haven't really worked out the details. There's a fire on the deck. Sailors running around attempting to keep the ship from some unknown fate. And I'm looking out at the sea and there's some monstrous sea creature that is attacking the ship, which after a sickening crunch of the hull is sinking. And I'm one of the first to flee.
Oh no.
Yeah, you are... stricken with this vision, and you feel it like as if you're there back on the boat, and then you flash back to being in front of these tendrils. And
I will blink once or twice, and I will look to Sanjo because he's closest, and I will say, I don't think these guys are on the guest list.
I did not see their name tag either.
That's your turn, unless you want to do something else. You have three actions, so your attack there is one. Then you can do two other actions. There are lists of other like actions you can do in the skills and actions column. If there's like something else you want to try out here.
I didn't know I had so much I could do on my turn.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking over my feats and features. Is there anything I can climb up on?
There are like poles with like those string lights that go across.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
sick.
Looking to that, that's where Kit Kat is still up there, up there by the lights. Yeah.
Okay, I wanna climb one of these poles.
Okay.
And then if I can still do something with my turn, I wanna untie one of the lines and swing and make a swinging attack. As I pass, I'm gonna try and aim for the shadow thing, and and this time use the sword part of the cane.
You can for sure do that. That is definitely a thing. There is only, I guess, one caveat to that. Your second attack takes a penalty to the number you roll. So it is.
I'm okay with this.
A minus five. So you roll your number. You add 14, and then you subtract five. You can do this in the demiplane by clicking that little tab down next to the 14, and there you'll see second attack and third attack, and it'll do the math for you there. The climbing, I think you just got it. You've done climbing up rigging and working on moving boats. So like a stationary pole doesn't seem like a complicated thing. So I will just have
plus to I took combat climber.
Yeah, I'll just have you roll the attack. See how that goes.
All right. Where does it show up on the? I'm just gonna do this the old-fashioned way. Oof. 17.
17 does not do it.
Curses! I squawk.
Yeah. You actually have a feature called squawk.
Yeah. No, that's whenever I fail, I squawk.
What does it do?
It's only a charisma thing, I think. But fun, I go as I miss.
Okay.
I think it's meant for when I fail a charisma roll. That's my turn.
All right. So you climb up the, pole thing, you disconnect the lights, and you do this full swing, and people at the table are like so invested
in these
conversations they're having with the speed dating that it doesn't faze them at all as you like swing by over
God.
The top of a table and
just like yodeling.
And I think like,
I forgot to ask if anyone else can see the specters.
I think, you pulled the sword out of the cane and you come through and you swing at the tendrils. And I think what happens is, you know how like you have that like, momentum, when you swing, when you do the follow through, I think like the lights spin you around. So you're like spinning on the rope of lights, and that's how you like end up missing. But you are
wanna swing.
You are
from the string lights. Thank you. That's all.
But you are on the opposite side, continuing that arc, and that's where we'll leave you. And we'll go to Steph. It is your turn.
Okay. I don't like these spooky tendrils. I think I'm going to cast magic missile. How many tendrils are there? Can I shoot like one missile at each one?
Yeah, there are three.
Perfect. I get three missiles.
Yeah.
These are auto hit, I believe. So, all right. First one is 4 damage. Second one is 3 damage. Next one is 5 damage.
I guess the question I have is, what one do you want to do? I mean, what damage do you want to do to the one that Huggins hit already?
4 damage.
Okay, cool. I will load that. All right. Does that take up all three of your actions? Or is that only a 2?
No, that's one action.
That's one action. That's legit. Yeah. Dang. Magic missile is that's crazy. One action. Whoa.
He's shook.
No, that's crazy. I'm just like, what?
Oh wait. No, you're right. That's 3 actions. In D&D, it's 1 action, but on here it's 3. So that's that.
I ask if you could just become a magic missile machine gun.
Okay. Dope. All right. Well then, it is the tendril's turn.
Oh no.
The tendrils get like barraged with this like. What does your magic missile look like, Steph?
Oh, I want it to be like a little, like cat claw. It's a little hooked claw.
Awesome. Yeah, they get like swiped at by these like, you know, cat claws that come out. They do the, you know, coil thing. They wrap around each other again. And then they unwrap. This is the first time you see them separate. One of the tendrils kind of dissipates into like the ground, and you see it appear behind Palaganis, and a hand of sorts forms. A normal looking hand, right? Like one would say like a human hand, but for you all never seeing humans before, the hand looks like, you know, I don't know what. I guess whatever,
like the Cyclops.
Yeah. Whatever being you'd imagine it to be, but it's not as big as a Cyclops hand. It's like a small version of a Cyclops hand, and it kind of reaches out and touches Palaganis on the shoulder, and you see Palaganis's focus just shift for a second, and the peach blossom tree kind of looks at him in confusion, and he catches back up to himself and continues the conversation, and everything seems to be okay, but this hand is like on his shoulder.
Like, is it a disembodied hand? Does he have a ghost hand on his shoulder and he's walking around?
Well, yeah, so there's like the tendril, and then like the end of the tendril is this hand. And then the second sort of tendril dissipates under the ground, but this one doesn't pop up, and the third tendril stays still and doesn't do anything, and it's your turn, Jojo.
Dislike. Okay, well, how about that? Okay, so I think, I don't know if this will work necessarily, but the hand is still on his shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I have a move under my class feats called Ash Strider. It's, I can discorporeate into a cloud of whirling ash and stride. This move, it doesn't trigger reactions, and I can move through spaces and tiny cracks, ignore difficult terrain. The first creature you pass through during this movement takes 3d6 fire damage with a basic reflex save. Ash lingers around you after your movement is complete, granting you concealment until the start of your next turn. So what I want to do is I want to turn into like an ash cloud and like I want to be the breeze that blows over Pelagianus's shoulder, and I want to singe the my spicy cloud against their depression cloud, and target the hand as I mist over Pelagianus's shoulder, and he won't even know that I was there because I'll have concealment, and I'll be the unseen moral support.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, that 100% works. Does it...
He's got to do a basic reflex save against my class DC, which I don't know what it is.
I remember we had this discussion, and I had to find it, like, somewhere buried in something. But I'm just going to roll the dice, because, that's a 12, so I'm pretty sure that doesn't do it. I'm just going to say it doesn't do it because I remember it being higher. So, so go ahead and roll the damage.
3d6. Oh, a maximum spice. 15 spicy damage.
Okay. Now I'm going to get a little strange, I suppose. But what does, like... my brain is imagining that there's like a part of, like, you know, this becoming the cloud that has like an essence to it, right? Maybe that's like a scent, or maybe it's a feeling. But describe what Pelagianus feels as this like breeze passes. Give me something sensory.
Yeah. Over cresting over Pelagianus's shoulder is like a warm dusting of like cinnamon and that smell of like fresh rain in the forest and like campfire, just that those smells of like summer wilderness. A light. Meanwhile, the hand of smoke is just being burned, like very quietly being singed on the corresponding shoulder, and then it just, you know, it's a cloud of ash, so it would just look like gray dust or charcoal like dust before it would re-apparate, you know, somewhere around the corner.
Man, that's cool. All right, in the top right corner of your character sheet, it's a thing that says hero points. I'm gonna have you add one of those over there.
Oh, cool.
And essentially you can use that to get advantage on stuff, and you can also use it to, if you are dying, you spend all of your hero points to go back to one health. So,
oh, I see,
those are super legit to have. Yeah,
cool, good to know.
What? I gotta not look at chat. Avoid chat at all costs. What the? All right. I just heard it like.
Mind me.
It just pinged, and I was like, "What?" All right, anyway. Yeah. So that hand just like disappears into nothingness, and the tendril sort of like shrinks down into like a puffy cloud, and then poof. It's gone. Now the last tendril is gonna go, and instead of moving, it like circles around itself, and you see like a beam of like just gray attach itself to Pelagianus. As that happens, Pelagianus has this like look on his face where he's like jarred, like shocked by like what's going on, and then he refocuses again. He gets back to like the conversation he's having with the peach tree.
What a sentence. He gets back to the conversation he was having with the peach tree.
He gets back to that conversation, and I think there is a moment in that confusion seconds before he goes back to the conversation where he's kind of like looking around, and you think this is a plea for help. We loop back around to our swinging friend Huggins. You are on the backswing, swinging down back towards the single tendril now that is there that has this like gray beam.
And it was okay. I will activate my boots to kind of guide the direction I swing in and go in to try and I'm gonna go straight at the tendril that is affecting Palaganis, and then like release myself off of the line and kind of try and tackle into it to get its attention on me instead.
Okay, all right, you know what? Roll that attack with advantage because that just it seems cool.
Nice. Where is it? I keep clicking melee attack. And it's not like showing up.
The cane? Yeah, I don't know.
Old fashioned way.
I don't know why it's not there. It's strange.
An 18 and a 19.
Okay. Is that after adding 14?
Yes, they were very bad rolls. Nobody judge me.
Okay.
As long as it's attacking me and not Palaganis, we're good.
Yeah, with a 19. You can with a 19 you hit. So are you just attempting to like hit the thing, or do you want to segue that into like trying to grapple it?
I'm straight up trying to grapple it.
Okay. So then make a athletics check.
Boy, here we go. Why do all my rolls not show up? Oh, here it is. 31.
Yeah, you grab that. Okay, grab that tendril.
tendril acquired.
So that was an attack, the grapple. So you do have one more action that you can do.
I will shout, have at the scoundrel, and beak it.
That'll be the regular attack, and then minus 5.
Gotcha. Cool. 22.
That hits. So roll that damage.
Ah! 1d6 plus 2. 6 points.
You beak at the tendril, and it doesn't feel like it's a corporeal thing anymore. And you see the little cloud form down beneath you and then poof away. And you're sort of like hugging yourself.
Nice. To anyone who's not paying attention, it just looks like I tackled the ground.
Yeah.
Just oof. Fall unceremoniously.
You're swinging from the lights, tackling the ground. What a lunatic.
That's what we call him Huggins.
all right. Yeah. Steph, it is going to be your go.
All right. So the peach tree that Palaganis is talking to, is that the first round of speed dating?
Yes, and that is going to end after this round.
Ah.
You have a You have a semblance of like how long each of the dates are in time, so you would know it's about to end really soon. But he does look like he's like not feeling himself, that he needs some help. He did that kind of shuffle around.
Yeah, I was going to use my action to just kind of like go give him a pep talk of like, hey, it looked like you were having a really great conversation over there. Like, I hope you think it went as well as we did, and go you. And can I like hold my action to just do that when the round ends? Like use my action, I guess, right now to like make my way over because I think I'm still on top of a roof.
Yeah.
And then
for sure.
Just when I get over there, just talk him up like, yeah, look at you.
Okay. What skill do you want to use in this? And honestly,
performance.
Performance. All right, that's legit. Okay.
Yeah, as part of my charisma.
So, yeah, go ahead and roll that now, and then we'll talk about it at the end of the round.
All right, I got a 25.
Dope. All right. The tendril that disappeared underneath the ground reappears as a what is a good way to describe? Sort of like a bubble, right? Is the best way to say it. It's like a bubble of this like gray smoke, and it floats its way over to Palaganis, pops, the bubble floats its way over there and pops, and you can see Palaganis is visibly being overwhelmed by whatever just happened, but is, you know, fighting through it. And the peach tree is like, oh, this is this conversation is getting a little strange. And then it will be JoJo's turn.
Okay. All right. So is it still revealed or is it hidden?
It just appeared as a bubble, and then the bubble popped, and like this cloud of like the gray smoke kind of surfaced around Palaganis, and then you saw him visibly get upset, and the peach trees say that the conversation is getting a little weird, but you do not see a tendril or smoke, and it sort of like just popped up over there.
All right. I don't see it. It just kind of popped up. But it is a smoke.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So I don't know necessarily how to go through this, but I have the class feature extract element. I can extract elemental matter from a creature's body to weaken it and take its power for its own. Target a creature within 30 feet that has a trait matching one of your kinetic elements. I have air. The target takes 2d4 damage of no damage type and becomes susceptible to your impulses depending on your fortitude save, on its fortitude save against my DC, which is 22. I found it. It was 22.
Okay.
So on a success or failure, it changes the damage.
All right. Let me just roll in. That's an 11. An 11.
That's a fail, my friend. So it's 2d4. So that'll be 5 points of damage. And then if the target normally has a resistance that would apply to damage from one of your impulses, ignore that resistance. If it would be immune to that damage type, it instead has resistance equal to its level. These effects last for 5 minutes or until your kinetic aura ends, whichever comes first. Extra D4 because I have a level up button, I guess. So it'll be just one more point, so a total of 6 points. But it failed. Was a critical failure? What counts as a critical failure?
Five.
It's more than 5.
More than 5, yeah. So it did critically fail.
It was total of 12 then. As a failure on a critical failure, the creature takes double damage. And so I rolled total 6, so it was a total of 12. But I just want to, like, you know, I want to airbender that silly little cloud. And I'm just going to, like, disco. You know, like the disco 80s dance with the lasso? I'm going to lasso it to me as my airbending. And I will make a sash out of the bad vibes.
Okay, that's legit. I guess as you draw in this cloud of smoke using your air abilities, what does it look like, I guess, as you, like, shake them off, like, get rid of them? Because you gotten rid of this cloud of smoke, it's going to dissipate.
I am going to pull it around me like a sash, you know, and then the sash is just going to spin out. Like, have you ever seen, like, in cartoons where it's like they make like a ring of smoke, you know?
Yeah.
I'm and then like you can blow it and like it would like be an expanding circle. I'm doing like an expanding like circle upwards, you know, like Mario down B Super Smash Bros, you know. I want to kind of get hula hoop it upwards into the sky, into, you know, the great realm beyond.
Okay. Yeah, it ascends up there, and I think it's going and going, and then it just goes away and sort of like meshes in with like the clouds in the sky. The thing, and this ends the round, which brings Kit Kat to Palaganis after the speed date with the peach tree, and Palaganis is like, I felt good going in, and then, you know, there's like these like memories and things, and I don't know how well it went, but they seem really nice. They're really cool. Yeah. Also, have never ever talked to a peach.
I give him a like. I mean, I can't really do a pat on the back because he's so much taller than me. Maybe like a chummy, like, you know, punch. You know, like a not real punch, but like just knocking him with my fist a little bit. Like, hey, and it's like, hey, like you put yourself out there. From what I saw, they were having a good time, and it might not be an immediate connection, but you're planting seeds. They're going to think about you, and this is only round one. You got this.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
And I'm going to walk away, and I'm just kind of like, because like, I'm not the touchy-feely, hype-up-your-friends type. But I'm trying real hard.
They gave you the shakes.
It's like, it's not what I'm used to, but I'm doing the right thing.
And yeah, you see some like small little pixie type fluttering around, moving the cards around, putting them back in different places on different tables. And then once they're all set, Palaganis goes and across from Palaganis is the bipedal wolf person. They have like splashes of like deep gray to like white fur, and then they have like splotches of red fur, and they're wearing this like shiny iridescent armor that like in the light switches from like this green to purple, and the plates of the armor kind of like stack on top, sort of like roof tiles, right? Like they stack on top of each other. And they have like a serious face when they sit down. from the look of Palaganis, you can see that or talk did do something.
Oh, good.
He does not look as shaken as he was at the end of the round. And now we are going to do some rapid fire stuff here, I guess. Palaganis is in conversation with the bipedal fox wolf person, it seems to be going well. The tendrils don't appear to be anywhere in sight, it seems like everything's going well with this date. And then I'm going to give you all a turn to do stuff while nothing is happening. And then we'll get to the end of this date. We'll talk about how that went. And then we'll go on to the next one, and then we'll do the same thing. And then we'll wrap speed dating. All right. So we'll just say.
So there's no immediate threats?
No. Not that you can see. You would go first, Patrick. Huggins is up.
I'm really just devoting myself to making sure that the bad touch monster doesn't screw up this second speed date. What's like holding your action like in Pathfinder?
It's very.
Can I just be on guard?
Yeah. You can be like on the lookout for stuff. Are we looking like? Are we just watching over Palaganis, I guess? Or are we like looking out?
Pretty much.
Okay.
If the bad touch, listen, I'm here to help Palaganis. If the bad touch monster goes and makes someone else relive their horrible whatevers, kind of like ablative armor.
Okay, legit. Then that will be your turn. Steph, you're up.
I think I'm gonna climb up back onto either the same roof I was in or a nearby tree. Something tall, and just make a perception check. Do I see anything else fishy?
All right, give me the perception check.
That's a 25.
No. I will give you with a 25 perception that you do notice that the wolf fox person is armed, but not anything else.
Everyone, we really need this one to go well.
Everyone seems to be doing all right. Nothing out of the ordinary. Although you think it's kind of strange that a person is armed at a blind date, speed dating thing. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, nothing. No. Did you want to do anything else?
Can I kind of like signal to one of my friends of just like keep an eye on the wolf person?
Yeah.
Just like gesture to them and then like point to like wherever the weapon is, but on my body. It's like,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess who do you want to tell? Because I think both of them are invisibly see you. You're not like hiding.
They're both what?
They both can see you, so you're not like hidden. So you can either one of them.
Then I'm gonna think. Hold on, one sec. I have forgotten both of your character names, so I'm.
It's okay. The monkey is Sandro.
Joe, and the bird is who?
Huggins.
Huggins. Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna. Sorry, I was muted. Sandro, I think.
Okay.
Dope.
I clock it and I make excessive monkey hand signs. In confirmation, like just way too many hand gestures, but in like five extra words that were unnecessary. I'm going. Is like my turn initiative?
Yep.
Okay. So under the pretense, this is a double-edged sword here, but while under the pretense of watching, I have the general feat for being trained in diplomacy. No cause for alarm action. It costs all three. I attempt to reduce a panic. I attempt a diplomacy check, comparing it to will DC of creatures in a 10-foot emanation around me who are frightened. Each of them is temporarily immune for 1 hour. And then if there's a critical success, the frightened value goes down by 2. If it's a success, it goes frightened value by 1. But I want to use that to let everyone know to let their guards down and be themselves and, you know, just give it a chance. Aww. Believe in love, you know?
I enjoy all of this. I will add that actually, you know what, roll the dice and then I'll decide what I'm doing.
Don't you do a diplomacy check? I'll do it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Diplomacy. Oh no. Can I spend a hero point? I rolled a 1 plus 11.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Do I reroll?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that was terrible. Reroll, baby. Let's go. Oh my god, it's a 2. No.
Oh no.
Wow. So, total of 13. So yeah, walk me through what happens. Tell me all about it.
I'll start with the good.
Okay.
Your your action is successful, but
good.
It is the most awkward thing. essentially, you have you're like everyone's chatting and talking and like engaging with their, you know, speed dating person, and you sort of walk out and you're like, "Hey, everyone." And everyone stops and looks at you, and like they're not doing their speed dating, and they're watching you and paying attention to you talk about how like they need to, you know, be calm and enjoy themselves, and you know, like so it's like a weird like if there was a couple on a date and then some guy just walked up and was like, "Hey, you guys, you should just let go of everything and enjoy your date." And
I'm helping.
You have everyone looking at you like this, but it seems to work. Like it strengthens like the conversation. It seems like they're doing good and better for it. But there is that like crazy awkward moment of like, what is this guy doing? Why did he stop everyone's date to say this?
The secondhand embarrassment is strong.
A little bit more time passes, and Palaganis wraps up his date, and he saunters over to Huggins this time, he's like, "Hey, I think that actually went really well. It seemed like it went great. I don't know what happened with the, you know, everyone enjoy yourself part. That was a little strange, but you know, I made a joke out of it, and we laughed, and it was good. I think I'm doing it."
I will say nice. I'll say nice, and I'll give him a fist bump. Also, I have a question for you. Two questions. One, when you said that those things were like ethereal, does that mean that I'm dealing less damage or no damage?
What is it? Who is it? What? The tendrils?
You had said the tendrils were like ethereal when I was hitting them with my staff.
So they have...
Or cane, I mean, cane.
They have physical form that you can hit, but
okay.
when they fade under the ground, or when they are like... gone, they disappear into like a puff of smoke. So you had it grappled, but then you like smashed it with your beak and it disappeared into nothingness. So then
has all my swinging around given me a state of panache?
I'm assuming that's how panache works.
All right.
Can I
in any way impart my swag onto Palaganis?
Whoa.
Like, is there any way I can help him with my panache?
Imparting the swag. You know what? Let's see.
Like, I essentially want him to have the charisma equivalent of confident finisher.
Let's see. What is... all right.
You gain an elegant finishing attack, or... in this case, conversational topic, when you have panache. The finisher trait is described in the key terms section. You gain the confident finisher action.
Yeah.
He gets a really good talking point.
Yeah.
I will...
Like through the fist bump, he is his confidence is bolstered.
Yeah. So I'm going to have you...
That's so awesome.
I'm going to have you roll... like you're doing the strike, right? Just roll an attack, and
okay,
yeah.
And on failure, it's half damage. So,
all right,
here we go. Oh shit! Okay, I got a critical success.
Oh my god!
Yes.
Finally, my new dice have decided that they're gonna help.
Yeah. So you you put your hand out to fist bump Palaganis, and Palaganis sort of takes like his index finger, taps the end of your fist.
And I forgot about the Yeah.
And is like, and I guess, what do you tell him as you're doing this fist bump? You said nice, and then like, I guess, give me something you say.
If you actually want something of substance from me, I will say like, listen, man, I get the feeling that you are a really great storyteller, but maybe today, time to listen to other people's stories, and I'll fist bump him. Be like, you got this. The wink.
All right. Yeah. And he goes and finds his next table, and as I've already described, a sentient otter sits across from him.
Otters have the best stories.
He is chatting up with the otter, and we're gonna do another round of everyone going. I guess we'll start with Steph. What do we do in this interim section here while we're waiting for the day to end?
What's that wolf up to?
At another table, speed dating someone else.
Can I go for another perception check then?
Sure.
Because I'm still up high. Oh, that's only a 16.
Okay. You see that up where the main like booth thing where the numbers were, that they have started to take that apart, and they're setting up a stage with the microphone and some other stuff going on. The microphone is actually a magic rock attached to like a pole. And yeah, that's what you see. Joe, what are we doing?
I feel I don't think I have any particular tricks or shenanigans this time. I have a general aid action, and I would just like to be generally helpful. Okay. You know.
All right. Dope.
Starts picking up little like hors d'oeuvres and passing them out to the tables.
Yeah. I can put a little plate on my tail. It's a prehensile tail. I can, you know, refill water with it.
Yeah. All right. Dope. So this date goes smooth as well. Doesn't appear that Palaganis is like stressed with anything at all. And you can see the glimmers of these like bodes of confidence that you've given him. Sort of flowing in his conversation with this otter, and
nice.
You can see he also has taken Huggins' advice that he's listening to the otter. Who, as like I guess Sancho passes the table, you get a little bit of what the otter is talking about, and it's wizard adventures and wizardry and spells and. It seems like the otter is a wizard and does some magical adventures. We end that date. Palaganis ends on this super duper high note, and he walks over to Sanjo and says, at the end of every annual speed dating, we have a performance, and I think this year I might do it. What do you think, Sanjo?
Oh, yes. Now, are you going to perform musically?
I mean, other than telling stories, that's really...
I believe in you.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna do it. He...
Yes, you absolutely should. I believe in you. Set your heart ablaze, as it were. Please, I support you. I will be your number one fan, your biggest fan. I will fan you a fan of flames. You can do this.
And, one of the Cyclops with the green rings around their eye walks up onto the stage and speaks into the magic stone. Testing. All right. It looks like everything's going well. We're gonna wrap up with a performance from our very own Palaganis. Can you imagine the Palaganis annual speed dating ending with a performance from Palaganis himself? And Palaganis makes his way up the stairs and pulls out his lyre, and he starts playing a beautiful song, and he's doing it. He's got the strings going, everything's going, and everyone out in the whole speed dating audience is vibing with his song, and he takes one last look out over the cliff where he used to play his music by himself, and he looks down at you and says, "I think we did it." And it's sort of like a under his breath type of thing as he's continuing to play the lyre, and you can see this like wave of enchanting music just going over all these people, and I think we'll zoom out from there, and we sort of get a full vision of the island, the volcano, various cliffs and things, and we take one sort of sombery, silent look at the dark like tunnel that leads to the cave that Palaganis lives in, and and then we leave the island as if we're a bird flying off to sea. And, the sun sets and the sky darkens, and the strings of lights light up, and everyone just has a fun time dancing to music. And, that's where we're gonna close the session here.
Yeah. Aww. Nice. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me. I guess to those listening, thanks for listening, and tune in next time. We got more stuff. All right. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye. Goodbye.